The Lord be with you. My earliest friends are two sisters named Elizabeth and Marie, and I have a picture of us here. I can't have been older than five at this point, maybe four. I was friends with them because my mom was friends with their mom, and over time, a fourth child would be added to this group, a young boy named Brian. Unfortunately, I don't have a picture of him here. But essentially, our moms would all get together and hang out, and they would send us off to play, and we would come up with silly dances, or we would climb on things, and we would always make ourselves laugh. We were together constantly until I turned eight, and then I went off to live with my father in Oregon and Washington, while my mom continued to live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where these folks are. And what that meant is I saw them less often, right? I would come on vacations, Christmas, summer, spring break, and we would still get together. And this continued as I got older. And as we got older, we would keep hanging out, but it would change, right? Now our parents would drop us off at the mall or mini golf, and we would still play together and make each other laugh, even as we got more and more awkward in our adolescent years. But then eventually, we graduated from high school, and I went off to college in Portland, Oregon, but all three of them went to the University of New Mexico there in Albuquerque. And what that meant is I started to only see them maybe once a year. Well, today, we hear just a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 2, and it's the story of a mom, Hannah, who sees her son Samuel one time a year. You see, Hannah had wanted a son, a child, more than anything in the world, and she had prayed to God to have a child. And she said if she had a child, in gratitude to God, she would dedicate that child to God's service, and so she would send the boy to be raised in the temple. And when at last she finally did give birth to Samuel, that's exactly what she did. Except she didn't live in the same town as the temple, and so she would only get to see her boy once a year. And that's a hard truth about being human, is that sometimes the people we love aren't all in the same place. Today in the gospel, we hear that Jesus, as he grew up with his family in Nazareth, takes a trip when he's 12 years old down to Jerusalem. And Jesus, obviously, he loves his family. But in Jerusalem, he has a chance to meet the greatest teachers of Israel who are discussing theology and scripture in the temple. And he loves getting a chance to be with these teachers. But those teachers don't live in the same place where his family does. And so what that means is he can't be with those teachers all the time that he is with his family. Now, Christmas is fundamentally about God becoming fully human, that Jesus is both fully God and fully human. And what that means is by looking at Jesus, we can understand who God is. But also by looking at Jesus, we can understand what it means to be human. And what we see in Jesus is sometimes you have to make a choice about who you're going to spend your time with, because you can't spend time with all the people that you love at once. Jesus opts to spend time with the great teachers in the temple, even when his parents go back to Nazareth. And being a 12-year-old boy who is fully human, Jesus doesn't bother to tell his parents that he has made the choice to stay with those great teachers, yes? But all of us face that struggle. There are people we want to be with, and they don't all live in the same spot. I feel this very acutely. I made a map of where all my family members, my close family members, and my friends who are close enough to feel like family live. And I put a star in all those places. And as I looked at that map, I realized, you know, there's a reason why I don't see most of these people every year, right? Some of these folks I get to see maybe every 2 or every 3 years. And there is always a fear that those folks, because I can't be with them always, someday will say they never want to be with me. That's always my fear. Look, we're at the time of year where here at church, we'll see people show up who maybe only come once a year, or maybe they come twice a year. Maybe they've come for Christmas and they'll come back for Easter, or maybe at the start of the new year, they're making a resolution. They're going to try to get to church more often. And often when those people come through the door, they'll see me and they'll make a joke. And their joke is often like, let's see if the roof catches on fire. Or, is the church going to fall down? Or, I didn't get struck by lightning. And I know they don't actually believe any of these jokes. But it's a way for them to manage their discomfort. You see, they know it's been a long time since they've shown up here. And it's not that they're afraid God is going to punish them. They're afraid that we will. They're afraid that what happens to Jesus when his parents finally find him is going to happen to them. Because Mary says to Jesus, "Child, why have you treated your father and me like this? We have been searching for you with great anxiety." Right? Mary's response to finally seeing Jesus isn't to rejoice, it's to berate him. That's what they're afraid is going to happen when they come back. Now, I'm preaching to all you here, you who showed up on the Sunday between Christmas and New Year, who showed up when it is raining, yeah? You are the hardcore, diehard churchgoers. I give thanks to God for each and every one of you. But let's be honest. There are ways in your life where you make choices about who you spend time with. And sometimes you make choices not to spend time with God in some ways. Sure, you are here on Sunday morning, but maybe you have stopped spending as much time with God in prayer or in the reading of Scripture. Maybe you've stopped spending as much time with God through serving your neighbors in need. And I'm not here to criticize or judge you for that. I am here to acknowledge the truth that is humans. What it means to be human is that we are limited in the amount of time and the number of places we can be at once. And so you make choices. But sometimes we make a choice for so long that we wonder if we can go back, that if there will be something for the relationship if we try to return to it. And I will say, once I started only going to Albuquerque once every year, once every couple years, my mom would say, are you going to go see Elizabeth and Marie? Are you going to go see Brian, your old friends? And there would be part of me that would think, well, I would love to see them, but I don't know if they want to see me. And my mom would say, well, reach out. And I would find myself putting off making that phone call. My mom would call me and say, hey, you're coming next week. Have you called them yet? And I said, no, I haven't yet. Until sometimes I would actually wait until I showed up in Albuquerque to reach out and see if they were available, because my fear was they would say, you haven't made time to see us for 3 years? You think we're going to make time to see you in the random 3 days you decide to show up? Or like Mary to Jesus, they're going to berate me and tell me what a bad friend I am. And so the danger is I don't return at all to that relationship. And the danger for each and every one of us is when we feel like it's been too long since we've connected with God in a particular way, we say, maybe I can't go back. Maybe it won't be the same. And so I won't try. But I'll tell you what. Hannah sees her son Samuel one time a year when she makes the trip to the temple. And despite only seeing her son once a year, she comes with a little gift, a handmade robe for him to wear while he acolytes in the temple. And yet, despite only coming to the temple once a year, the priest Eli at that temple, his response to seeing Hannah show up is to bless her. He blesses her for coming and for bringing her gift. He knows that her presence is a gift not only to the temple and to God, but to her son. And I will say, every time I have gone to Albuquerque and I have reached out to my friends, every single time they say, "Ben, we are so glad you're here. Of course we will find time to be with you." And as I've gotten older, the way we've hung out has changed, right? It's not the same. Once we are out of college, we no longer get together for silly dances and climbing on things. We'd get together and have a drink or go out for dinner. And then 5.5 years ago, I got married to Annalisa, and I asked these friends, who I had only ever seen in Albuquerque, if they would come to the wedding, and I asked two of them to be in my wedding party, and sure enough, they left Albuquerque and flew out here. One of them had never left New Mexico. And it was, of course, different, right? This is not how we'd ever hung out before. But they came to my wedding, they were in the wedding party, and I will tell you what, I have a picture of us here at the reception. We came up with silly dances, and then we climbed on things, you know? The way that we related had changed, but the love we had for each other had managed to stay the same through the decades, through these infrequent but meaningful moments of connection. And I have come to realize that fear that they won't want to see me, that's just my own insecurity talking. Because when I have moved or gone through bad breakups or had changes in my career, when I have questions about who I am, I have always known where I could go to find these friends who have known me since my youngest years. And they remind me who I am and that I am loved. When Mary and Joseph finally find Jesus in the temple and they're exasperated, Jesus seems confused. He says, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not realize I must be in my Father's house? I was here all along. You could always come be with me." Now, in our translation, it makes it sound like he says, "I must be in my Father's house," is like a building. And the Greek's a little more nuanced than that, so I want to pull up the Greek here. So Luke chapter 2, verse 49, it literally says that I must be in the things of my Father. The word for house is just not in there. It's literally in the things. Now, the temple, it's not a singular building, right? It's a compound of buildings. And houses in the Greco-Roman world were also what we would think of compounds, multiple buildings all attached. And so they're often spoken of in the plural. And so it's a reasonable thing to translate "in the things of my Father" as in "the house of my Father." Because sometimes, yes, we find Jesus in a place. But let's also make note, when Mary and Joseph find Jesus, he's not just in a place, he is among people. He is among God's faithful people who are wrestling with what it means to be a follower of God. And so maybe those things are actually the people. Because sometimes where we find God is not in a building, but in our relationships with people we have outside it. But Jesus is also asking hard questions, engaging in debate and discussion. And so maybe those things of his Father are the questions, are the conversations. Maybe sometimes that's where we find Jesus, is in the conversations we have or the questions we ask late at night when there is no one to answer but Jesus. You see, our relationship with God will change over the years, just like my friendship with those kids in Albuquerque has changed over the years, just like Jesus grows over the years. But the love that's at the foundation of that relationship, it is always the same. Last year on New Year's, almost exactly 1 year ago, for the first time in nearly 5 years, I went back to Albuquerque. And I, of course, called up my friends and I said, "Hey, do you want to get together? And they said, yeah, Ben. But I will tell you, something did change. It wasn't the same. Because no more did our parents hang out and talk to each other while we ran around and made up silly dances and climbed on things. You see, now we all have kids. And so now we sat and talked to each other and sent our kids off to another room, and they all came up with silly dances and climbed on things. And I've got a picture of us all together here. But the love was still there, and we still laughed. And I am amazed that this group of friends has held together despite seeing each other so frequently. But Samuel sees his mom only one time a year. Most of the time, he is raised by the priest Eli. Eli has other sons. His other sons all turn out terribly. They steal from the temple. They sleep with people they're not supposed to sleep with. They are so bad that God vows to end Eli's entire genealogical line, which comes to pass at the end of 2 Samuel. Samuel is raised by Eli, and yet he turns out entirely differently. He becomes one of the most faithful prophets of the Lord. And the only difference is, once a year, his mom would come and visit him and bring him a gift. Seeing someone one time a year can change their life. And it can change ours. So if at the start of this new year you've been thinking to yourself, I want to spend more time with God, but maybe the relationship has changed, maybe it won't be the same, reach out to God anyway. Reach out in prayer, in study, in service to your neighbor. And if there are humans that maybe it's been a long time since you've seen and you think to yourself, that relationship, it's probably withered by now. Reach out to them. Tell them how precious they are in your life, what a gift they have been to you. And friends, if you see people show up here at church, and it's been a while, don't tease them. Don't shame them. Do what Eli does for Hannah and bless them. Thank them for being a gift to this community and that they have trusted that they could find Christ in our midst. Amen.